Hello everyone, I'm Tara and we are talking about social entrepreneurship. Now, we have this concept of charity and philanthropy, and of course I'll be touching a little bit on that. But as I have been stressing, that social entrepreneurship goes way beyond that. Social entrepreneurship is about creating a sustainable organization that maximizes human potential, social good. So while there is maybe profitability consideration involved, but the profit comes together with purpose, people, and planet. Now, what is the scope of social enterprise? We will look at a lot of examples to understand how it is playing out across the world. Now, interestingly, if we look at data, then there are about 10 million social enterprises across the globe. Yes, you heard that right. 10 million of them, which are creating more than 200 million jobs across 80 countries. So social enterprise is not just about giving money in the bank, but it is about creating livelihood. When you create livelihood for one person, you are not helping that one person only. You are helping their families as well. You are helping their extended family. You're giving them the sense of self-reliance. And one very important aspect of social entrepreneurship is that idea and purpose behind social entrepreneurship is not to just do good in isolation, but the contagious effect which is there, the influence that they have on others. So one good social enterprise doing good to a certain sector of beneficiaries, the chain does not end there. It goes beyond that to influencing other people, underprivileged people to join programs, other entrepreneurs to come into the fray, more research to happen, more governments to stand up and take notice, more organizations to put their money and their mentoring behind that. So when we're talking about the scope of social entrepreneurship, it goes beyond individual isolation. It is about influencing and spreading this whole movement across. So in terms of numbers, social entrepreneurship is a very, very large contributing segment of the global GDP. I already told you there are about 10 million social enterprises across the world. Out of which probably 2 million are just in India itself. India, China, and the US are the leading nations for the number of social entrepreneurs in play right now. And interestingly, it is larger. The contribution of social entrepreneurship organizations, if we look at the commercial aspect, is actually far larger than even the apparel industry. Or the advertising industry, which is maybe about $900 billion. So it is, and this is data I'm giving to you from World Economic Forum site. World Economic Forum site, for those of you who want to know more about this sector, want to understand more about the impact, scope, the geographical spread, the various other elements, whether it's governments, legalities, a lot of the other things, is a very good one-stop shop for you to go and refer to. Not only will you find data, but you will find a lot of current reports which really explain well on what is happening in this sector, the future of this sector, the challenges this sector faces, to give you an even deeper understanding. If you want to know about the sector, or let's say you actually want to explore this sector in terms of employment yourself, or not just employment, in terms of becoming a social entrepreneur yourself as well. So this is a very, very dynamic sector. Interestingly, which also makes you think about, you know, how God created us, one in two women, when it comes to social entrepreneurship, one in two organizations are founded by, driven by women leaders. which, if you compare to traditional business, traditional commercial organizations, then there the ratio is probably 1 in 5. But when it comes to social entrepreneurship, then it is a lot of women leaders in this segment. So that is a very, very healthy thing, because also when we're talking about upliftment of the underprivileged, then we are very well aware in India and globally the gender inequalities that exist. So to inspire more and more women to come on board, if they have leader role models to look up to, if they have role models who are women, then chances that they will be influenced and come into the whole network and come into the whole ecosystem of the social enterprise may be higher. You know, when I will discuss examples of Seva with you, when I discuss examples of Lijjat Papad with you, when I discuss so many other examples, you will see how it is the leadership which has initiated something noble, and then how they have rolled it out through strategies in a way to make it inclusive and to get more and more people and eventual beneficiaries to buy in. Because remember, I was earlier talking about disruption and moving out of the comfort zone. So if you're trying to get women to join, or if you're trying to get children of women to sign up for education, husbands of women to sign up for something, then the influencing factor and pushing them to move out of their comfort zone becomes that much more important. So there are various features of social entrepreneurship. Let's focus on the values. We'll be talking about the strategies, various kinds of strategies being adopted later. But let's specifically talk about the values and the goals. Now here, profit definitely comes secondary to people and planet and purpose. Okay. Also, when you are employing people, you have to see an alignment in values. When you are looking for investors, you have to look for an alignment in values. You know, it would be very strange if I had a social enterprise coming to me pitching some real good, and I see that one of their investors is an organization which is associated with extremely negative and destructive practices. So a value alignment in this segment becomes that much more important, that the value across the various chains, whether it's your suppliers, whether it is your investors, whether it is the research element which is coming into play, whether it is the other institutions you are partnering with, that there is a value alignment out there. Because see, someone may be trying to misuse social enterprise just to whitewash their image. We know enough organizations and enough individuals in the world who will do a lot of destructive things, who will do a lot of negative, and then probably do some PR campaign with some a project somewhere or some CSR, which is nothing but an eyewash, you know. So we are not looking at social enterprises which are trying to only be a whitewashing job or serving this PR purpose for themselves or for someone behind them. I remember there was a very large social enterprise, and a lot of the young, eager college students, you know, took up internships out there. And I remember that they were talking to some of them, and they were extremely disappointed, because they were saying that, you know, we want to do good and we're not allowed to do good, in the sense that the focus there, we don't get the resources within the organization to do good, even when a potential beneficiary approaches us, because the entire focus seems to be on creating little projects which can be then released to the press, which can be great PR campaigns. And the entire focus seems to be like which publications wrote about us and which magazines wrote about us. So we seem to be working for a PR organization rather than actually a social enterprise. And then, several of them quit, highly disillusioned. Now, that is a very tragic situation, because clearly here there was no dearth of resources, whether in terms of funding, whether in terms of infrastructure, office space, staff, etc. But the values were obviously not in the right place, and there was misalignment of values between these enthusiastic interns who joined and the organization in place. So there has to be that much more value alignment, because here people are willing to give up money, people are willing to give up salaries, people are willing to give up positions, consumers are willing to pay more, people are willing to waive loans, etc. So all of that, if they are giving up, they want to at least feel satisfied that it was worth it. They gave it up for something which was a higher cause. Giving it up for something which is, serving an agenda for someone, it's happening around the world. So whenever we're talking about social enterprises, values and goals, which we'll talk about even more in the various chapters, especially in the chapter on HR practices, assumes that much more importance, because without that, it's just superficial. Now, Bornstein, he was a pathbreaker when it came to, the concept of social enterprise. And in fact, he said that, social enterprises are extremely contagious, and this whole thing has to be something which keeps influencing other people. So it is not simply a matter of doing good in isolation, but using all your elements of infrastructure, funding, thought process, all of that, and then being a visionary who can create sustainable change. For social enterprise, when we are talking about, recently in the news, we have been reading about Greta Thunberg, who tried to do some good and, tried to carry food to a conflict zone in other regions. I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but the thought was at least noble. Likewise, in the past she has taken up a lot of elements of climate change and a lot of elements of saving the planet. Then in the Indian context, we hear a lot about activists like Vandana Shiva, who's largely based in the US but from India. And now, when we are talking about these people, they are activists, okay? They are trying to do some good. They may or may not be social entrepreneurs. So whenever we are talking about social entrepreneurship, see that, are you talking about someone who's purely an activist, or this is an activist who's also a social entrepreneur in terms of, running this venture and initiative which operates in a way to create the sustainable growth, or is this person, not a philanthropist, but they are a social entrepreneur in terms of, they're not going and donating money anywhere, but at the same time, they have set up this whole strategy, idea, etc., got investors from outside. So it's not like capital is coming from their side, and they are creating this sustainable change. So, in philanthropy, you'll see the philanthropy report and who is the largest, who's the most charitable person in India, who's the, most known activist these days. Know the difference between these various segments and which, what is the whole, scope and framework and bandwidth of the entity that we are speaking of. So objective is here very, very important, because it addresses a lot of social causes. There is, for example, I'll give you an example closer to home, to Mumbai. There is a lady by the name of Shaheen Mistry, and she founded an organization called Akanksha. Some of you may be aware of it as well. It is education for children from underprivileged communities, and these children are how they started operating. Was she was associated with through her family, through to a very senior figure in the banking and financial services industry, and she had this fabulous idea. And at least in the initial phases, of course they've evolved a lot in the initial phases, they tapped into this network of corporates and banking and financial services industry, colleges, etc. And what they started doing was more than money or, investments, etc. More than that, they started using their space after work hours, on weekends, etc. to teach children. So you see, you're saving on the cost of a school premise. They are using the space. They started recruiting people through, of course, regular teachers, but through volunteer programs. So, I could go and join and say, I want to teach the children. And then based on my capabilities and the time schedule available to me, what subjects I would teach to them, and whether it would be weekend volunteer work or, you know, various other things. So they pooled in a lot of resources where people were giving them. I know prominent investment banks where after the work hours were done on weekends, you actually had like a little school running on some of their premises. So they pooled in. It was, you see how it's not just about money. It is about this innovative thinking where you're pooling in resources coming in from everywhere in different forms, whether it is through teaching, whether it is through, providing space, which is helping in a holistic way. And also, because, of course, there was this network, there was a lot of awareness, of course, there was a lot of good press. There were profitability becomes a consideration when you have to run it. There may be volunteers, but there is staff you will have to pay. There are certain costs you will have to incur. You will have to go into those underprivileged areas and somehow convince the families to allow their children to come. Over and above teaching these children, they were also, children used to make art and craft. And the mothers of the children were recruited to make gift items, whether it's envelopes, gift bags, bookmarks, various other things from this art and craft that the children were creating. So it was also creating employment for the women. These products were being sold. Very interestingly, the foundation would also have people donating art to them. So then they would have a very fancy art auction. And we all know the who's who, go to these art auctions, and the proceeds from that auction would again get reinvested towards this good going to the organization. So, for the longest time, they've been known by this, these colorful t-shirts that those children wear with a little sun, motif there and account. So you understand, it's not only about money. It's about thinking. It's about harnessing the power of your resources, not only monetary resources, appealing to people that people like me would also get drawn to it, after my work, want to take out time to go and, contribute to it. Appealing to a larger platform, larger ecosystem to contribute to something like this. So once again, I have spoken about activists, change agents, etc. Know, who you are assessing, who you are under, trying to figure out about. Again, there's a difference between only activists and your social entrepreneurs, influencers, etc. There are a lot of market influencers who can affect change, are affecting changes, but not necessarily social entrepreneurs, So there are various ways in which people are contributing. We are specifically talking about people who have taken an innovative idea, rolled out that idea, done a pilot, rolled out that idea, gone into a space and implemented it. The whole idea is to create a better world, leave a better world for our next generations. And now with times changing in terms of, the way the world assimilates information. Now, podcasts are very popular. So, for example, in this whole wave of social entrepreneurship, there is a podcast called Cozy Aims, which is a weekly podcast which showcases social entrepreneurs, their story. So, when I was talking about Unlimited, which is one of the pioneers in terms of mentoring and supporting social enterprises, if you go to their website, you will see so many stories, of real entrepreneurs, their real stories. And this, in today's world of influencer mindset, people want to hear real stories rather than read chapters. People want to hear real stories of people, whether it is through podcasts, whether it is through your documentaries. I told you about Who Cares? There are documentaries, An Inconvenient Truth. There are so many other, ways in which people assimilate information. And also with this assimilation of information, there is credibility which comes in, because trust is important. Lot of people associate scam. These people keep chasing me for money, but I'm not really sure. Is this really going towards a good cause, or what the hell is happening? They've never actually, whenever I've asked them, like, can you show me details of where you have worked? What are your beneficiaries? They haven't really been able to get back to me, So in this, where you do not have, you may not have shareholders reports, and you may not have listing on the stock market, and you may not have public information available in that manner, credible information goes a long way in terms of creating credibility, which will get more people to participate with you so that you can enforce your social goals. I already mentioned that you could have various models. You could have your not-for-profit models. You could have your profit models. It could cross borders, and you could be affecting change in ecosystems that you don't immediately live in. So there are various strategies, and we'll be talking more about these strategies. When we create jobs, it is not simply a matter of livelihood for that one person. We are creating the sense of self-reliance, which is uplifting this person, their family, and also very often then drawing in other people from their immediate environments, from their families, to participate in this job employment opportunity. For example, when I was telling you about the youth employment created through 15 Cornwall, now they may have trained roughly about 200 youth and made them these world-class chefs, but you see the effect that that would have on other youth around them, seeing these people come out of this dark future and create a future for themselves. So it impacts not just the immediate beneficiary, but their families, their peers, the others around them. They become the role models for others. Likewise, when you're talking about employment, you may be recruiting women into your venture, but you could create some sort of affiliate employment for their children, for their children of an age who could be employed, or for their husbands, So this is a very contagious process where a lot of innovative thinking is required. Try tested formulas will not work here. So when I was telling you about Akanksha Foundation, there was innovation required to think, let me bring in volunteers, let me use spare space so that, my overhead costs are taken care of. I'm not spending on rents, I'm not spending on those things. So there has to be out-of-the-box thinking, because that is how these needs of different people, communities, cultures are going to be met. So there is a social capital which becomes very, very important. And that is what we have to keep seeing, the social impact, which is as important, if not more important, than your maximizing of profit. So, for example, when I was telling you about these various organizations, there is the Goonj Foundation, which was started. And this gentleman who started it, what he started doing is that, we throw a lot of clothes. We buy clothes. We know the consumerism cycle, how much we discard, we don't use, we throw clothes, they go into landfills. So he started taking these discarded clothes and recycling them and reusing them and creating new items of clothing and sanitary pads for the underprivileged communities. Now, you had to have some nature of innovative thinking for this to happen, right? So now when people want to junk their clothes, it's not about like, you know, let me look for a domestic help to give it to, or let me just throw it out. People actually use various organizations like Goonj to ensure that, you know, those go to a cause where they are being recycled, reused, which is not only helping the beneficiary in terms of getting something, you know, to use, but which is also helping the planet, because it is reducing that much of manufacturing and it is creating the circular economy where you are not creating additional manufacturing and reducing the carbon footprint as a result. So another entity is your, you know, when we talk about, when I was talking about artisans. So you have the Clive sisters, in the Klein sisters, who created the Aanchal Foundation. Now, this is working with artisans both in India and in a certain part of the US. So their innovative thinking went beyond their immediate hometown in the US, and they are managing to do this cross-border social enterprise where your social impact is more important than various other considerations. It's we'll be talking about funding. Funding is coming from, you know, we have a lot of organizations, Ashoka, World Bank, Schwab Foundation, you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, various other foundations that we're going to be talking about during the course of this discussion. But over and above these foundations, there are a lot of, you know, a lot of the IIMs are involved in your incubator, have incubator funding, are mentoring. You had so many other entities who are participating in this funding. So when it comes to funding, one very important element for your social enterprises is that, see, if they get funding on favorable terms, it helps them to scale a lot more. If you have a very good idea, you have a very noble idea, you are implementing that, you are achieving good, but you are so financially crunched badly, you may have to stop at a certain time, or you may not be able to scale it beyond that immediate pilot region where you are running it. So funding, while we are saying, you know, while we are saying, yeah, consumerism, not exactly very noble, this, that, at the end of the day, funding is important, because funding will enable social entrepreneurs to take, ethical funding will enable them to take their enterprises to a, you know, scale where they are really having far-reaching impact and they can keep evolving. So this is very important. Also, when I'm talking about these documentaries, when I'm talking about podcasts, etc., it's very important, not from a PR point of view, but to create awareness. More and more people may want to participate with your venture, you know, if they are aware of it. So communicating this becomes very important, and also communicating in a way where you have both credible information and the right set of empathetic, you know, tonality is very important to get others to buy into your ideas and to get more and more people to sign up. Now, let's say there is someone who can contribute very well in terms of training. Maybe there is a technical person who can contribute by, not by funding, but by, you are trying to develop an app with, you know, social, to cater to a certain social need. And there is a technical person who can contribute by way of his technical know-how and to create this for you in his free time without any cost. But if he is not aware of you and your mission, how will this collaboration happen? So for these collaborations to happen, whether they are from a funding point of view, technical point of view, various training point of view, these collaborations need communication of what your agenda is, what you have achieved, what your values are, so that more and more people can join the whole endeavor. So for example, when I'm talking about strategies and remaining true to the mission, now we're all familiar with Amazon, you know, in fact, consumerism, Amazon, very, very, you know, synergistic. But there is a site platform called Brightly. Now, what does Brightly do? Brightly, very interestingly, has created a parallel to Amazon, where they are providing fashion products. They are providing a lot of these trendy products, but products which have been created by social enterprises or ethically. So they are ethical or sustainable social impact products. So you have, you may have a fashionable item which is created from recycled, clothing. You may have, trendy items being created by, people who in underprivileged communities, artisans in underprivileged communities. There is a jewelry brand that I had heard of, and I had come across the founder, and he was running a chain of restaurants, but he also had created this jewelry brand, where the jewelry was made by people who had been rescued from human trafficking. So, now that I'm telling people about Brightly, or now that I know of Brightly, I may not be able to access it in India, but for regions where it can be accessed, once people know that Brightly exists, then someone may say, no, I choose to buy from there versus buying from a regular commercial, window, because I want to contribute in my own way. Likewise, when we have blood diamonds, very often in a lot of the chapters and gems, jewelry, we've spoken about diamonds. Now, a lot of the diamonds we know are mined in conflict zones and called blood diamonds because the mining is leading to a lot of war, exploitation of men, women, children, and then these diamonds are sourced. So there are entities, especially overseas, who certify that the diamonds that they're using in the jewelry that they make are not coming from conflict zones. They are not blood diamonds. They, in the entire chain, right from mining to polishing to everything, they are happening in an ethical manner to the point of sale to the customer. So when it comes to entities where you have ethical product sourcing, the entire supply chain is ethical, you may have a lot of customers who are willing to pay that extra amount, but they need to be aware that this entity exists, right? That this avenue exists. So this is how communication also becomes extremely important. And of course, you have to remain true, because suddenly, what if one fine day people discover that, oh, you claimed to be creating in this sustainable manner and giving employment to underprivileged people, but what we realized was you were running exploitative sweatshops. Then you're not true to the mission, and it's going to be really bad for you, and people will abandon you.